anxiety. This is the body's response to the worry and the fear that fills our hearts. And whether you know it or not, we've all experienced anxiety at some point in time. We all wrestle with anxiety from time to time. And at the same time, there are also many who struggle with anxieties each and every day. And as a result, many people have anxieties that affect their ability to accomplish the daily routines that we all have to engage in. And in order to understand how this problem is a worldwide problem, I want to consider one report. It was a report from the WHO in 2017. They tell us that there are at least 264 million adults all around the world who struggle with anxiety. There's also a single care study from 2020, which has also revealed that 62% of the people who responded to their study reported experiencing some degree of anxiety, and that's huge. Another study informs us that 31% of all adults will eventually experience an anxiety disorder at some point in time in their lives. It's incredible to consider. 31% will go from simple anxieties to an anxiety disorder at some period of time. And without debate, anxiety is clearly an issue that impacts everyone to one degree or another. Now, it's not uncommon for those who struggle with daily anxieties to become emotionally paralyzed by their fears. That being the case, we can rejoice in knowing that the Word of God provides us with a way to gain the victory over anxiety. And as we make our way through the text before us today, we're going to begin to see, first of all, that we gain victory over anxiety through careful moderation. Secondly, we'll consider how we gain victory over anxiety through prayerful motivation. Thirdly, and finally, we'll learn that we gain victory over anxiety through thoughtful meditation. Well, with this as the outline, let's open our Bibles now to Philippians chapter 4. Here we find Paul. He's helping his audience to gain the victory over anxiety. And as we make our way to the fourth chapter of Philippians, I just want to take a moment to put our text back into its context. It'll first help us to remember that Paul penned this epistle while he was sitting in a Roman prison. And while it's true that he was the one who was waiting to stand trial there in Rome, it's also true that he was much more concerned about the Christians back in Philippi who were struggling with anxiety. And the reason for their anxiety is because they were worried about the persecution which was beginning to impact the church more and more every day. And it's for this reason that Paul presents them with instructions here that they needed for gaining the victory over their anxieties. And with all this in focus here, I want to pick up our study of Philippians chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 5. Here Paul declares, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Now here in these verses, we find Paul. He's helping the Philippian Christians who were struggling with anxiety to understand how they were able to gain victory over their anxieties. And just to be clear about this, the word anxious, which is found there in verse 6, it's translated from a Greek word which was used of those who are troubled with the cares of this world. They're troubled about the things they're caring about. And in other words, the anxious person is troubled about the things that they worry about. Cares become worries, worries then become anxieties, which fill our hearts with fear. At the same time, it's also interesting to note that the same Greek word, which is translated anxious, It was also used of those seeking to promote their own agenda. Interesting. Those who are anxious are seeking to promote their own agenda. And what this means is that those who are attempting to promote their own interests and promote their own agenda, they oftentimes are filled with anxious thoughts as they worry about whether or not they can accomplish their agenda. Now, if this sounds like something you struggle with, then I encourage you to follow the instructions that we find here in our text today. And with this as the goal, let's back up and take a closer look at the counsel that Paul presents beginning at verse 5. There again, he declares, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Now listen, when Paul directs the disciples there in Philippi to let their gentleness be known to all men, he's actually encouraging them to become considerate Christians. He's saying, hey, become a considerate Christian when you interact with others. Be concerned about the feelings of others. Listen, it's not uncommon for anxious people to become abrasive and caustic because they're attempting to control others rather than desiring to be considerate of others. And so Paul here is saying, hey, be gentle as you interact with others, setting aside your desire to control them. With this as the goal, I want to take some time to consider what this means then to be gentle with all men. I like the way that the scholars who created the Amplified Bible render verse 5, they put it like this. Let your gentle spirit, and then here's this parenthetical statement that they add, let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. Here in the Amplified Bible, we see how the word gentleness then is amplified with this parenthetical statement that helps us to understand that gentle believers are gracious to others. Gentle believers are unselfish. Gentle believers are merciful and tolerant and patient when we interact with others. Rather than trying to railroad others in order to keep them on the tracks of our own agenda, we've been called to treat others in a way that is gracious and unselfish and patient. We've been called simply to exchange relational manipulation with the gentle, careful moderation by which we moderate ourselves. We are to carefully moderate our own desire to control others by simply learning how to be gentle with the people that we would like to control. To further explain my point, let's consider the way that the scholars who created the King James Version render verse 5, they put it like this, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. From this we can see that the Greek word which was rendered gentleness in the New King James Version, it's rendered moderation here in the King James Version. And just to be clear, moderation in this context, it speaks of self-restraint. And listen, we could do an entire study on being moderate Christians in all different areas of our life, but here we're talking about anxiety. And so in this context, moderation speaks of the self-restraint that is needed whenever our anxieties lead us to begin manipulating the minds of others in the name of self-protection and self-preservation. Simply put, Christians who want the victory over their anxieties must exchange relational manipulation with careful moderation. Rather than attempting to manipulate the minds of the people around us, we should check ourselves and engage in some careful moderation of our own agendas so that we're not impacting others in a negative way. And one way to do this, according to Paul, is by remembering the proximity of our Savior Jesus. Let's consider again how Paul puts it here in our text today. Look with me there at verse 5. There Paul declares, let your gentleness or let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, Christians have been called to interact with others with careful moderation as we rest in the realization that the Lord is always near. And as we consider Paul's reference to the proximity of the Lord here, it seems to me that he was helping his audience to remember that our Lord, who, remember, is always near, he is the one who's here to accomplish his agenda. He's here to accomplish his agenda. He's here, his agenda is the right agenda, and he's here to accomplish it. So then, what business do we have in attempting to force our agenda onto everybody else if it's the Lord's agenda that we ought to be trying to accomplish? And if it's the Lord's will that we're trying to accomplish, if it's his agenda that we're trying to accomplish, then we don't have to force anybody. We don't have to manipulate anybody to get that done, because why? The Lord's here. He's near. He's at hand. And he's in control. Therefore, we don't need to engage in relational manipulation in order to achieve our agenda. Christian, listen, the desire to control others typically turns into an anxiety-based agenda which can cause us to create conflict with others. This was precisely the point that James was making in James chapter 4. It's verse 1 where he declares, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" According to James, all of our fights, all of our wars, all of our conflicts, they typically begin with selfish desires. And the fight begins whenever we find ourselves in a war of wills with those who have a different selfish desire. I have my selfish desire, you have your selfish desire, and when these two things, you know, are in opposition, conflict occurs. And especially if I'm determined to make sure that you are doing my agenda, and vice versa. As the conflicts unfold, our hearts are filled with anxiety. Why? Well, because we got into a conflict with somebody at work or at church, and then we get home, and we try to go to bed, and we toss and we turn, and we finally fall asleep, and our mind keeps wrestling with that situation, and it wakes us up, and next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and all we can think about is that conflict that we were in earlier that day. And it's sad to say that there are so many of us who are always agitated with anxious thoughts because we constantly find ourselves in the middle of relational conflicts because we're trying to control the people around us. And listen, those who are constantly engaging in relational conflicts are simultaneously increasing their struggles with anxiety. And according to the research, our relational conflicts create the conditions for increasing levels of anxiety, which keep us from falling asleep, thereby creating a loop of insomnia, stress, and worry, resulting in more relational conflicts, which keep us up the next night, which then increases insomnia, stress, and worry, which then results in more relational conflicts, because why? We didn't get a good night's sleep, and we're a little grumpy now. And you better believe that those who are struggling to get a good night's sleep because they're always finding themselves in the middle of relational conflicts, they continue to be anxious with all the relational conflicts that continue to occur because we can't get to sleep. And so we continue to be grumpy, and we continue to force our agenda on everybody, and so on and so forth. And it's just a loop. It's a vicious cycle. And a lot of us are caught in this vicious cycle. This sounds like the situation that you've been struggling with, and I encourage you to realize that we can gain the victory over our anxiety by learning how to engage with others in the gentleness of careful moderation. With this as the goal, I want to consider the counsel that James presents in his epistle. So hold your place here in the book of Philippians. Let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 3. You see, it's here in the third chapter of James where we find James. He's presenting us with the instructions that we need so that we can interact with others in a way that will help us to overcome anxieties which stem from, you know, the selfish desire to control others. I want to consider how James puts it here in James chapter 3. If you would, look with me there beginning at verse 13. Here James asks, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy," and notice, "self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what else? Demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, and notice, gentle. There's that word, moderate. This wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, then gentle or moderate, and in what way? Willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Christian, listen, those who are motivated by a heart that's filled with bitter envy and self-seeking will end up creating relational conflicts which always increase our anxieties, resulting in confusion and every evil thing, because much of these conflicts are called by the oppressive thoughts that come from demonic entities. Conversely, the Christian who will simply seek the divine wisdom that comes from God will receive the godly guidance that we need so that we can become those believers who are filled with the peace of the Lord that enables us to be gentle with others, willing to yield as we interact with others according to the careful moderation of our Messiah. If you really want to overcome anxiety in your mind, then you have to give up that selfish, agenda-driven desire to control the people around you. And it's important to just remember that the Lord is near. He's at hand. He's in control, and we can leave it in his hands. Now, this brings us to our second point, because listen, our victory over anxiety is not only achieved through the gentleness of our careful moderation, but our victory over anxiety is also achieved through prayerful motivation. And to explain what I mean, let's make our way back to Philippians chapter 4, because here we find Paul. He's actually encouraging the Christians there in Philippi to pray away their anxieties. Let's consider how Paul puts it here in our text today. Look with me, let's back up and begin reading at verse 6. There again, he declares, be anxious for some things. Sorry. That's the wrong translation. He says, be anxious for no things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, here in these verses, we find Paul, he's helping his audience to understand that born-again believers are able to gain the victory over every anxiety through the spiritual discipline of prayer. Now, just to be clear, that word prayer, which is found there in verse 6, it's translated from a Greek word which was used in reference to the petitions that we present to the Lord, who, I'll remind you, is near and therefore is always listening. And while it's true that prayer is the way we present our petitions to the Lord, well, it's also true that Christians are supposed to pray with our eyes on the Lord and not on our anxieties. We are to focus our spiritual eyes or our mental eyes upon the Lord as we pray. We're to focus on him as we pray and not on the anxieties themselves. Notice again, there in verse 6, Paul declares, be anxious for nothing. In other words, stop focusing on your anxieties, but rather in everything pray. According to Paul, we're invited to bring our anxieties before the Lord by prayerfully presenting him with our petitions. And at the same time, believers have been called to then leave those anxieties with our Redeemer. We are to bring our anxieties to the Lord prayerfully, but we are also to leave those anxieties there. Christian, listen, if you still struggle with anxiety after you've spent time praying to the Lord, then here's what you did. You presented the Lord with your anxieties, and then when your prayer was over, you took those anxieties and you left with them. Yeah, you presented them to the Lord. Look, Lord, here's all the things I'm anxious about. I've got a bag full of anxieties. Let's pull them out one by one and let me show you all these things that I'm struggling with. And then you finish praying and you put them all back in your little bag and then you carry them off with you and wonder why your prayers don't work. I pray. I show the Lord all my anxieties in prayer, but then you take them with you when you leave. Don't do that. When we pray, Let's leave our anxieties with the Lord. How do we do that? By trusting Him to handle it. We come to our prayer closet and we say, Lord, here's all the things I'm anxious about. Leave it there, let Him handle it, and you go on about your life. How do we do this? Well, let's begin by considering what it means to present Him with our supplications. Just to be clear, the word supplication found there in verse 6, it's translated from a Greek word which refers to the specific sort of prayers that include our entreaties for help from the Lord. Listen, when it comes to our anxieties, we should most certainly entreat the Lord for His help so that we can gain the victory over those things that make us anxious. At the same time, we should present these prayerful supplications with a heart that's filled with faith. In other words, when we ask the Lord for help to overcome these anxieties, we ought to pray with faith that fills our hearts, trusting that He's going to be here to help us. And I like the way that Paul explains this in Hebrews chapter 11. It's verse 6 where he declares, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. As we prayerfully present our supplications for help to the Lord, then these prayers must be presented in faith. In what way? Well, believing that He exists, first of all, and believing that He's going to reward our prayers by helping us overcome the things that make us anxious. The Christian who spends time praying in the presence of the Lord should also leave our anxieties with Him by faith, so that we can continue to then walk by faith with our Savior, overcoming our anxieties. It's for this reason that Paul encouraged us to pray with a thankful heart. Notice again here in Philippians chapter 4, there in the beginning of verse 6, Paul declares, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. In other words, when we spend time praying and presenting the Lord with our prayerful supplications, we should do so with a thankful heart, and in this way acknowledging that we're grateful for how He's going to work these things out. Our gratitude is actually an act of worship. You know, when we express our thankfulness to the Lord, that word thanksgiving, found here in our text, it refers to the grateful language that we offer as an act of worship to the Lord. So listen, rather than focusing on those things that make us anxious, let's spend time prayerfully presenting our petitions, making supplications with thanksgiving, being grateful for how God is going to tackle these problems that make us anxious. That's praying in faith. That's praying in faith, believing and being grateful, thankful, for the way that God is going to work all these things out. To further grasp the connection then between our prayers and our peace of mind, let's take a closer look here at this text. Notice again there in Philippians chapter 4, we'll back up and begin reading once again at verse 6. Paul declares, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And notice, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here in these verses, we find Paul, he's connecting the dots between our prayers and our peace of mind. He connects the dots between our prayers and our peace of mind. Listen, the believer who presents their prayer request with a heart that's filled with gratitude will then overcome their anxieties as the peace of God begins to fill their hearts and minds. And we should notice that Paul is not referring to some sort of natural peace which can be easily explained by a change in the circumstances. We're not talking about, well, eventually as the circumstances change, then, you know, through some natural means and twist of fate that will eventually overcome anxieties because, well, things just got better for us. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's instead referring to the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And I'd love to explain it to you. I just don't understand it. It surpasses all understanding. In other words, it doesn't make sense that we have this supernatural peace in the midst of the same circumstances that we are anxious about. The peace doesn't come after the circumstances change, but rather in the midst of the storm that's creating the anxiety. And in this way, it's hard to understand. How is it that we now have peace of mind when the things that were causing anxiety haven't changed? With that, I want to consider the way the scholars who created the New Living Translation render these verses. Here's how they put it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. You know, like algebra. We will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Listen, the born-again believer who spends time seeking the Lord in prayer, they begin to experience the peace of God which defies explanation. And while the cause of our anxiety may remain the same, those who are presenting their prayer requests with a grateful heart, they receive this supernatural peace, which is a spiritual fruit produced by the Holy Spirit. That's right. Peace is a spiritual fruit produced by the Holy Spirit. And according to Paul, this spiritual fruit of peace will actually fill our minds and guard our minds and our hearts against further anxious thoughts. That's what Paul says here. And listen, the word guard, which is found there in verse 7 as he talks about the way this guards our hearts and our minds. That word guard is translated from a Greek word which was used in reference to the soldiers who stand as sentinels as they protect a city or a nation against hostile invaders. Listen, much like the soldiers who are sent to a nation's borders against hostile foreign invaders. I know that's hard to wrap our minds around at this day and age, but that such soldiers might exist. But this is the concept here. That the peace of God becomes like a sentinel who is standing guard over the borders of our mind. And in this way, the Holy Spirit guards our minds with the peace of God so that we can gain the victory over further anxiety. And we must not fail to notice that this victory over anxiety, it comes to us all through our connection with Christ Jesus. Let's consider how Paul puts it here in Philippians chapter 4. There again, beginning at verse 6, Paul declares, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds." How? Through Christ Jesus. The spiritual fruit of God's peace, which is beyond our comprehension, becomes the guard that is protecting the borders of our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, those who want to gain the victory over anxiety must be walking by faith with Jesus. And as we walk by faith with Jesus Christ, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to enter the throne room of grace. And there in the throne room of grace, we're able to prayerfully present our prayer requests with thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus. And as we do, we begin to experience the incomprehensible peace as we receive the mercy and the grace that we need for the help that we need in that moment. And I like the way that Paul sums it up in Hebrews chapter 4. It's verses 14 through 16 where Paul declares this. He says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Christian, listen, those who want to overcome the anxieties that fill our hearts with fear, we ought to prayerfully approach our heavenly high priest who was tempted in all ways and yet overcame every temptation. And you better believe that he was tempted with anxiety. In the Garden of Gethsemane, just before his crucifixion, he sweat as great drops of blood from the anxiety that overwhelmed him. And yet he overcame the temptation to sin in that moment. and has now become our heavenly high priest who's here to help us in our time of need. Therefore, we should prayerfully approach our heavenly high priest there in the throne room of grace. And as we spend time with our Savior there in the throne room of grace, the Lord Jesus then begins to provide us with the mercy of our Messiah, which then enables us to walk with peace of mind. Not only that, but he also provides us with the grace we need to help us to gain the victory over every anxiety. And it's possible that whenever you take the time to pray, you're so anxious that you don't even know what to pray for. It's possible that when you pray, you're filled with anxiety over the question of what should I even be praying for at this point in time? And if this sounds like your situation, then we should consider something that Paul wrote to the Christians there in Rome. So hold your place here in Philippians, and let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. As you make your way to the 8th chapter of Romans, I should take a moment to point out that there are times when we are wrestling with what we should be praying for. I think that sincere Christians want to pray according to the will of God, and yet in times of great anxiety and in times of fearful stress, we begin to even wrestle with questions of, well, how should we pray in the midst of this situation? And then as we question what we should be praying for, those questions then become concerns about whether we're praying according to the will of God or not. And then that turns into anxieties that fill our hearts with fear. And then that becomes, you know, a repetitional loop there. And with that, well, we just need help sometimes to pray, don't we? And thankfully, the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers. I want to consider how Paul puts it here in Romans chapter 8. If you would look with me there, beginning at verse 26. Here Paul writes, "The Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Now, some people think that this is talking about a prayer language. I don't agree with that. It says that these groanings cannot be uttered, right? So we can't utter them. This is something that's happening within us spiritually. And in verse 27, "He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Christian, listen, if your heart is filled with anxiety because you don't know what you ought to be praying for, well, I encourage you, take comfort in knowing that the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us within us and according to the will of God. At the moment of our conversion, we became the temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is dwelling within the born-again believer, and there are times when we don't know what we should be praying for, and that's okay. The Holy Spirit is there interceding within us and for us. And the Holy Spirit will also provide us then with the peace of mind that helps us to remember that he's working all things together for our good. You see the connection there between verses 27 and 28, that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us within us so that we might remember that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Now, I don't know about you, but that fills my heart with peace. What's going to happen tomorrow with that situation that I'm afraid of? I don't know. What I do know is that God's going to work it out for my good because I love him. In this way, as we spend time in prayer and we allow the Holy Spirit to intercede for us within ourselves, he helps us to gain the victory over anxiety by reminding us that God is going to work in all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so with that, there are times when sometimes in our prayer, we should just allow the Holy Spirit to engage in that intercession within us. But now listen, before you think I'm talking about some sort of Eastern meditation here, this brings us to our third point. Because listen, our victory over anxiety is not only achieved through the gentleness of careful moderation, and our victory over anxiety is not only achieved through the peace that comes from prayerful motivation, but our victory over anxiety is achieved through thoughtful meditation. And with this as our focus, let's make our way back to Philippians chapter 4. Here we find Paul, he's encouraging the original recipients of this epistle to begin to focus their minds through meditation. And I want to consider how Paul puts it here in our text today. Look with me there at Philippians 4, beginning at verse 8. Here Paul declares, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Here in these verses, we find Paul encouraging the original recipients of this epistle to spend time meditating. And just to be clear, I want to assure you, Paul is not referring to the Eastern meditation by which a person tries to silence their mind. Listen, the purpose of Eastern meditation is to empty the mind. And in this way, the practitioner attempts to merge with the universe. You ever hear anybody talking about the universe and how the universe is speaking to them? And listen, if you try to meditate your way into merging with the universe and the universe starts talking to you, I guarantee you it's not the universe. You are being influenced by demons. It is not the universe talking back. But there are those who promote this practice of emptying the mind and merging your mind with the universe. And they assure us that there are many benefits for those who silence their minds with these mindless mantras. And so they'll encourage you to just present this mantra or this repetitive chant over and over and over again. And I think most Christians recognize that's not the way we ought to be praying. But then there are those, you know, in the church today who are arguing, well, we can take the mantras, the practice of the repetitious prayers, and just, you know, take out the Eastern stuff and put in Christian terminology. And so maybe just like maybe a prayer like the Lord is with you. 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 Over and over and over. And it becomes this mindless mantra. But it's with Christian terms. And so it's okay, right? Wrong. Jesus says, when you pray, do not use vain repetition like the heathens. We are not to engage in these mindless mantras as we attempt to, you know, empty our brains, because those who empty out their brains, they basically are inviting demons to come and have influence over their minds. And you better believe that this is one of the purposes in yoga, which is to bring you to an altered state of consciousness so that you're open to whatever entities want to then influence you. In light of these things, I can assure you, Paul was in no way endorsing the mindless mantras of Eastern meditation when he tells his audience here to meditate. Instead, Paul's encouraging Christians to focus their minds through thoughtful meditation. And just to be clear, the word meditate found there at the end of verse 8, it's translated from a Greek word, which is used in the context of those who consider something or calculate something. They're considering something. They're thinking through something. They're calculating something. And the same word that's translated meditate, it speaks of taking something into account and according to reason, or employing the laws of logic. Not only that, but the same word was also used of those who engage in the concentration of contemplation. And don't get me wrong, because I'm not talking about contemplative prayer. Listen, if somebody starts encouraging you to engage in contemplative prayer, that's just another buzzword for Eastern meditation. Paul was not encouraging the sort of contemplative prayers where you get engage in these repetitive mantras. No, he's encouraging them to think through things in a meditative way. He was encouraging us to overcome anxiety through thoughtful meditation. Now, with this as the focus, let's take some time to concentrate here on the things that we're supposed to contemplate, beginning with truth. That word true is found there in the beginning of verse 8. It's translated from a Greek word which was used of the thoughts and the ideas that correspond to reality. We all have thoughts and ideas and opinions, and the ones that correspond with reality are true. If your thoughts and opinions and ideas fail to line up with reality, then they are not true. Listen, we don't get to say, well, that's my truth. Listen, it's either true or it's not true. You don't get to have your truth. If your thoughts and ideas and opinions fail to line up with reality, then they're not true, no matter how much you want them to be true. And seeing how those who struggle with anxiety tend to focus their minds on fearful fantasies about the future, it's crucial for Christians to realize that our fears about the future might not be true. Chances are they aren't. And yet how many of us focus our minds on the fantasy worlds that we create about what might happen tomorrow or what might happen the next day? And we focus our minds on all these things that might not be true. What are we meditating on? Fearful fantasies. And then we wonder, why am I so anxious all the time? Because you're failing to focus your mind on those things that are true. Listen, Jesus is the truth. So the best place to start with this is by focusing on Jesus, because Jesus is the truth. Paul also encouraged us to meditate on those things that are noble. Just to be clear, that word noble, translated from a Greek word, which was used of that which is honorable and venerable. Noble thoughts are reverent thoughts, which are morally excellent and intellectually honest. Christian, listen, those who spend time thinking about things that are immoral and dishonest end up struggling with anxiety. That being the case, it's no wonder why people who listen to secular music all day that include lyrics that are immoral and dishonest, well, it's no wonder why they wrestle with anxiety. If you fill your mind all day long with the lyrics of songs that are immoral, celebrating sexual immorality, celebrating these sorts of dishonorable ways of living, then it's no wonder you're struggling with anxiety. As they say, garbage in, garbage out. You fill your mind with garbage, guess what? You're going to have garbage thinking. And as a result, you're going to be anxious. If you want to experience victory over your anxiety, then let's make sure that we're meditating on those things that are morally excellent and intellectually honest, and we ought to make sure that the music we listen to lines up with that. Paul also encouraged every believer to meditate on those things that are just, and the word just found there in the middle of verse 8 is translated from a Greek word which was used of him whose way of thinking and feeling and acting is completely conformed to the will of God. The same Greek word can also be rendered righteous and upright. And what this means then is that the Christian who wants to overcome their anxieties, they ought to spend time meditating on those thoughts that are in line with the will of God. And what's the source and the standard for knowing God's will? Well, it's the Bible. If you want to overcome anxiety, spend time focusing on the truth of God's word. We should also notice that Paul encouraged his audience to meditate on those things that are pure. That word pure is translated from a Greek word, which is used in reference to that which is free from carnality. The same word was also used of that which is chaste and modest and virtuous. In light of this definition, it's important for us to understand that those who spend their time focusing on things that are impure, they're simultaneously filling their minds on those things that result in anxiety. If you're spending time playing video games, watching movies, filling your minds with things that are impure, don't be surprised when you have anxious thoughts later. If you want to gain the victory over anxiety, meditate on those things that are pure. Paul also instructed every believer to meditate on those things that are lovely. That word lovely is translated from a Greek word, which was used of those things that are pleasing. Listen, if you struggle with anxiety, chances are your thoughts aren't centered on things that are pleasing or lovely. Pleasing thoughts won't make us anxious. Therefore, rather than focusing on the fearful fantasies that we create in our own minds, let's instead focus on the thoughts that are pleasing to the Lord. Not only that, but we should also focus on those things that are of good report. And I want to consider how Paul puts it here in Philippians 4. Let's back up and begin reading once again at verse 8. Here Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report." As we consider this encouragement, Have you ever stopped to consider how much time and attention we spend on bad news? How much of our time and our attention do we spend with bad news? According to one expert, 90% of the news we watch on television is negative news. 90%. That being the case, we shouldn't be surprised that the average human has a thought life that includes 80% of our thoughts being negative. 80% of our thinking is negative. Why? Because we spend a lot of time filling our minds with bad news. Is it any wonder then why so many of us struggle with anxious imaginations? And in order to reverse this trend, we must make a conscious effort to look for those things that are of good report. Paul also encouraged every Christian to meditate on those things that are virtuous. And that word virtue, which is found there in the middle of verse 8, it's used in reference to the moral excellence of personal purity. And with this definition in mind, Paul here is directing the disciples of Christ to meditate their minds on thoughts that are morally excellent and will bring us into a perfect purity as we continue to engage in the plan of sanctification here. And the next time you find yourself then filled with anxiety, you ought to stop and ask yourself, what am I focused on right now? Am I focused on fearful fantasies that I've created, or am I thinking about those things that are virtuous, which then encourage moral excellence and personal purity? Finally, Paul reminded his readers that those who want to gain the victory over anxiety should meditate on those things that are praiseworthy. And that word praiseworthy, it's translated from a Greek word which was used of those things that are commendable. As we consider Paul's encouragement here, we should take a moment to ask, how much time do I spend worrying about things that are not praiseworthy? How much time do I spend focusing my mind, meditating on things that are not praiseworthy? How much attention do we give to those things that fill our hearts with fear? Christian, listen, if we want to overcome our anxieties, then we must meditate on those things that are praiseworthy. One way to do this is by taking the time to praise the Lord in all things. And with this as the focus, we should take some time to consider the connection then between the focus of our minds and the peace that fills our hearts. And I want to consider how Paul puts it here in Philippians chapter 4. Look with me again. We'll begin reading again at verse 8. Here Paul declares, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Fix your focus on these things. And then he says this, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do." These things that I told you, these things you received, the things that you heard from me and saw me actually putting into practice, if you do these things, what does he say? The God of peace will be with you. Here in these verses, we find Paul helping the Christians there in Philippi to grasp the connection between the focus of our minds and the peace that fills our mind. Those who want to experience the peace of mind that can only come from the God of peace must first make sure that we're actually engaging in thoughtful meditation, the sort of thoughtful meditation that Paul is describing here in these verses. Rather than spending our time focusing on all the things that stir up our anxieties, we should instead meditate on those things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, on those things that are of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. And as we apply all of these things, as we apply these instructions to our lives, Paul assures us here that the God of peace will be with us. Now listen, this is not to suggest that the Lord left the heart of the anxious believer. At the moment of our conversion, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, and he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. And so what does Paul mean when he says, the God of peace will be with you? Well, Christian, listen, those who are focused on all of their anxious fears are failing to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit still living within us? Yes, of course. But when we focus on all of our anxieties, who are we ignoring? But the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And if we're walking in the flesh, then we are not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you better believe that our anxieties will cause us to forget that we don't need to fear tomorrow. Our anxieties will cause us to forget that the power of God resides within us because the Holy Spirit lives within us. We forget these things. But when we meditate our minds on these things that are true and pure and noble and just, and when we fix our focus back on these things, the God of peace will be with us in an experiential way as we rest in the fact that the God who sees tomorrow dwells with us today. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. Is World War III going to start tomorrow? I don't know. Am I going to win $1 billion tomorrow? I don't know. I hope so. Here's what I do know. The God of peace who dwells in me today sees tomorrow. And he's there waiting for me. And he's there to help me. And the same is true of you, Christian. Those who trust in Jesus Christ don't need to worry about the future. And I like the way that Jesus put it in Luke chapter 12. It's here where he declares, "I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest?" Christian, listen, being anxious, being worried about the things happening in this world will not change one single situation or circumstance. You can stay up all night until tomorrow morning worrying about whatever's going to happen at work this week. And the only thing that will change is that you'll go to work tired. It changes nothing else. You can toss and turn all night worrying about the things, worrying, anxious about the relationships and the conflicts and these sorts of things, and it will not change one thing. And to the contrary, our anxieties will only keep us from resting in the thoughtful meditation that actually brings peace of mind as we focus on those things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, those things that are of good report. And as we focus our minds on those things that are virtuous and praiseworthy, that's when the God of peace enables us to gain the victory over every anxiety by guarding our hearts and our minds with the peace that passes all understanding. With all this as the goal, I want to wrap up our study by reminding you that our victory over anxiety can be achieved. And our victory over anxiety is first achieved through the careful moderation that occurs in the lives of those who stop trying to control everyone and every situation. When we'll just allow God to be the one in control, and as we moderate our own selfish desires to control, when we give all that up, we let go of a whole lot of our anxieties. And our victory over anxiety is also achieved through the prayerful motivation that takes place when we spend more and more time with our heavenly high priest there in the throne room of grace. And finally, our victory over anxiety is achieved through the thoughtful meditation that occurs as we begin to focus our minds on the virtuous and the praiseworthy things that fill our hearts with the peace of God. With this as the focus, I encourage you in closing, let's spend more time each and every day presenting our prayerful petitions to the Lord, knowing that the Lord is the one who can give us the victory over anxiety.